Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie, excuse me, from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. Good to have you with us here today for the Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It's Tuesday, May 24th, 2022. Come to you each morning at about 9 a.m., and we pray together. And it's just beautiful settings of the chorale settings. They were originally composed for quartet. And then Kevin Hildebrand, who composed them, then rearranged them for solo violin. So you hear that there. It's a little bit more exposed, but also quite beautiful, right? Good. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Say our memory verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. We say our psalm. You might think, as we pray the psalm, how this relates to the ascension of our Lord, which we'll celebrate on Wednesday evening, as well as Thursday morning, of course, with the children. Say it together. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our first reading is from Ecclesiastes, now chapter 7. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense, but the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other, for he who fears God will escape them all. Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom, and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and of madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. Here is what I have found, says the preacher, adding one thing to the other to find out the reason, which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among all these I have not found. Truly, this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. All right, again, we have more from old man Solomon, perhaps trying to instruct his son in the way of wisdom. This reminds me of, who is it? I'm thinking of Gran Torino, Clint Eastwood, right? Get off my lawn, right? The old grumpy man who no longer can even see any joy in life, right? But he's also warning, right? This is the benefit of wisdom, or at least life experience, is that you can provide a word of warning and saying, you know, don't be too content in your joy, in your laughter, in your mirth, even in your birth, because these things can all be taken from you. Recognize that whether you have or you do not have, whether you live or you die, whether you have joy or you suffer, these are all the Lord's doing, right? Consider the work of God. Or where did he say it? He said it elsewhere in here too. That they are all from God. Oh yeah, surely God has appointed the one as well as the other so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. I think what Solomon's driving after more than anything is kind of the folly of trying to seek meaning and purpose, wisdom and knowledge in just mere observation and experience, and not in the Word of God. This is the life of one living apart from God's Word, right? And it's all vanity, like grasping for the wind. Maybe that's a good way to put it. All right. And then our reading for catechesis is from Luke chapter 5. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law standing by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find out how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, Man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this who blasphemes? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus, perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, Why are you reasoning in your hearts, which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, and took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. All right. So remember, yesterday we had the multitudes coming out to Jesus. Today we find out very specifically who comes near, and we have Pharisees and teachers of the law from every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. That's quite a distance, actually, right? So they've made the trek to come in here and to see what he has done. And what did the men bring, or who came to Jesus? We have these men, right, who brought, lying on a bed, a young paralyzed man. How do we know he's young? I don't know. Oh, maybe that's from the parallel text. Yeah. But what problem do they encounter? It appears he's in a house, right? And the house is full, and so they can't get to him because of the large crowd. So they take matters into their own hands. They put in a lot of effort here to get up on the housetop and let the man down on his bed through the tiles. What does Jesus see about their faith? Well, they are certain, right? That's what faith is, certainty, confidence, that Jesus could save their friend. What did Jesus do when he saw the young man, though? Verse 20, he said he forgave him his sins, okay? Who objected to this? Those scribes and Pharisees, right? The teachers of the law and the Pharisees. Why? Because only God can forgive sins, they say, right? And they accuse then Jesus of speaking blasphemies. It's been a while since we've defined blasphemy. It's probably worth doing here, right? This is to speak carelessly or falsely or even insultingly about God or of the holy things or of his word. Or it can be quite specific, in the case here of Jesus, claiming the divine attributes for oneself by word or deed, right? Which is what he does. Not just speaking carelessly or falsely or insultingly, but rather to claim for oneself what belongs to God. So what question does Jesus answer, or ask, I should say, of the scribes and Pharisees? Which is easier to say, right? Law question, your sins are forgiven you, or rise up and walk? It's an important question, right? Because it's getting to the heart of their question, their reasoning. Who alone could say to someone, rise and walk? Think Ezekiel 37, for example, with the dry bones. Only God, the creator, the one who gave them life, can restore them, right? To cause them to rise up and walk again by a word. The word that made all things is the word that restores things here. Same word, same God. So the healing of the paralyzed man teaches them that Jesus does have power on earth to forgive sins, forgive men, and also, by extension then, to give men of flesh the power to forgive sins through the proclamation of his word, by his name, right? So we've been authorized by Jesus to forgive one another in his name, proclaiming his forgiveness, the forgiveness he purchased won on the cross, for one another. Maybe that's why it's so hard to say, I forgive you, to someone, because in effect, you're saying Jesus loves you. And we're always reluctant or timid to preach the gospel. But there it is, the opportunity to share that gospel in the forgiveness of sins. That's how you do it, by the way. This is how you make known to people that which they cannot know apart from God's word, namely the word of the New Testament, which is, your sins are forgiven you, right? Of course, this causes them to say something. Well, I mean, they glorify God. Of course, he goes to his home, but what do they say? We have seen strange things today. I joked with the children that some Sundays, I wonder if people walking out are saying, would say the same thing. I've heard a strange thing today. Whatever could this mean? Well, that's the gospel, right? It's not something we know by nature, by observation, by our own wisdom or intellect. It only comes through the preaching of Jesus and his word. Right? Same with forgiveness of sins. Indeed, only God can forgive sins, and he does it by declaring them forgiven for the sake of his son. His own son has taken on flesh that he might preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the world. This word of forgiveness releases us from the bondage of death. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Because God has become man, he now gives men the power to forgive sins. Jesus promises that when the pastors of the church forgive sins, they are forgiven before God in heaven. The justifying word of absolution is declared from the mouths of men on the basis of Christ's sure word of promise. From the mouths of men come forth the words that free sin-paralyzed men from death and the devil. So which is easier to say? Wrong question, right? Neither is easier to say. Which is the greater gift? That he would rise and walk, or that his sins be forgiven, right? Forgiveness of sins is greater because that gives him life and life everlasting. All right. We say our catechism for the week to widows. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. 1 Timothy 5, verses 5 through 6. To everyone, the commandments are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself, Romans 13, verse 9. I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, comfort all widows who have lost their husbands and are left all alone. Give them strength and courage to put their hope in you and to cry out to you for help night and day. In their loneliness and sorrow, draw them closer to your divine services, and deliver them from the temptation to seek fulfillment from the pleasures of life that can never truly satisfy. Teach them to believe that they have a sacred calling as widows to live by faith in the greater bridegroom, who has laid down his life for his bride, and in whom alone are pleasures forevermore. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray. Heavenly Father, comfort all widowers who have lost their wives and are left without a spouse to love. Deliver them from self-centeredness and despair. Give them the strength to flee from fornication and every form of sexual immorality. Fill the void in their lives with the gospel of your Son and study of your word. Teach them to pray to you for help to live in their calling, to serve their neighbors in love, and to commend their future to your gracious will. Grant them your grace to remain single or provide them with a faithful Christian wife. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray. O Lord, as you have loved us in place of yourself and thereby fulfilled all of God's law on our behalf, teach us to walk by faith in your love in all that we do, to live in love and self-sacrifice toward others in our callings, and to pray for everyone in need, seeking not our own glory, but the welfare and salvation of our neighbor. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, let's sing.
Us, Father, when we pray, through your Son and in your Spirit, by your Spirit's word convey all that we through Christ inherit, that as baptized heirs we when we know not what to say, and our wounded souls are pleading, may your Spirit night and day groan within us interceding, by his sighs too deep for words we are heard. Jesus, advocate on high, sacrificed on Calvary's altar, through your priestly blood we cry, hear our prayers though they may falter, place them on your Father's throne as your. By your Spirit now attend to our prayers and supplications, as like incense they ascend to your heavenly habitations. May their fragrance waft above God above.
All right. Today, we do have a commemoration, so let's look at that. I think it's Esther. Isn't it Esther? Let's see. It is Esther. She's the heroine of the biblical book that bears her name. Her Jewish name was Hadassah, which means myrtle. Her beauty, charm, and courage served her well as queen to King Ahasuerus. I think I got that right. In that role, she was able to save her people from the mass extermination that Haman, the king's chief advisor, had planned, Esther 2. Esther's efforts to uncover the plot resulted in the hanging of Haman on the same gallows that he had built for Mordecai, her uncle and guardian. Following this, the king named Mordecai minister of the state in Haman's place. This story is an example of how God intervenes on behalf of his people to deliver them from evil. As here through Esther, he preserved the Old Testament people through whom the Messiah would come. All right, that's good. Actually, there's no prayer with commemorations, apparently. That seems wrong. Oh yeah, commemoration, no prayers. Feast days that have prayers. All right, very good. Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray this day for deliverance against temptation and evil, for the addicted and despairing, for the tortured and oppressed, and for those struggling with sin. We pray also today with all the households of our congregation, especially that of Bev, Susan, Stephen and Jackie, Jonathan, Shannar, Nicole, and Alan. Continue to give thanks to God for confirmation of Ella and Leah in their baptism. We pray for those ill receiving treatment or recovering, especially Marcella, Bev, Kelsey, Amanda, Dan, Brad, Timothy, Pastor Kretschmar, Merlin, Jim, and Mike. Pray for our homebound Bev, Willis, Ed, Mickey, and Paul. We pray for the mission of the month, that is Lutherans for Life. We ask the Lord to preserve and increase love amongst us, and we ask your comfort on those who grieve, especially the family of Dale. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right. Thanks for joining me as we pray together and we confess together, we hear God's word together, receive catechesis from that word. I encourage you to join us again. Oh, we forgot. We sang together too. I encourage you to join us again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. and we'll continue our catechesis through the gospel according to St. Luke. Tomorrow evening, our Ascension Day service is at 7 p.m. Observed. And you can join us again at 5:30 for our adult catechesis class. We'll be looking at least the first table of God's law, maybe the second table as well. We'll be talking about the purpose that God gives his law, those Ten Commands. All right. And the benefit that they are to us. So, Lord's blessings to you this day and always, and we'll see you again tomorrow. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.